Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch the show on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can also call the show at 312-332-3776. The Bears win last night 20-19 over the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Bears are now 4-1, Abdallah.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what we wanted from this team. The defense showed up. Nick Foles made enough plays in the end to get the team in the lead and to hold that lead. And this team now moving forward, I accidentally hit that on there. But for Nick Foles, this is exactly what we asked for last night when we were pregaming the show here on the Points Bet pregame show on ESPN 1000. Mm-hmm. And especially with one Khalil Mack. We asked for Khalil Mack to show up in a big spot, and he did. This is exactly the type of game I was asking for, because when this team has a player like Khalil Mack playing the way he played last night, disrupting the backfield, getting after Tom Brady, the Bears can win a lot of football games, and I like what I saw yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the defense, like you mentioned, showed up. They allowed 19 points just like they did to the Colts. But this time, the offense found a way to win. They capitalized on a turnover by Kyle Fuller. You know, Robert Quinn picks up the football. But I think that, you know, we are victims of outcome bias here. You know, the Colts game, Matt Nagy runs the ball like 11 times, 10 times or something like that. And we're upset, and it's calls all day Monday, all day Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all week about how this guy needs to run the ball more and how the O-line needs to protect better and how the O-line needs to create holes. And they ran, what, 12 times yesterday, 13 times yesterday?
They had 14 rushing attempts.
Well, one of them
yesterday
was full, so that doesn't really count. And it was
It's a loss.
It's a run.
What's the difference between 14 and 12?
Nothing. That's my point.
Okay, well,
my point is that because they won the game, we're sitting here, and because Matt Nagy was bailed out by his defense late in the game after a boneheaded play call and throwing the ball when he should have run the ball to give Tom Brady the ball back with over a minute left in time, he got bailed out by the defense, and we're having a completely different conversation. It's outcome bias, which is fine. But there's still a lot of holes on this team. There's still a lot that can be improved. But a win is a win. They're 4-1. You're on the right track to make the playoffs. It makes the rest of the schedule a hell of a lot easier to try to make the playoffs. And yeah, you won a football game. But there are still things that need to be corrected. And now you have the luxury of having 10 days to try to figure some stuff out.
Can I give you a Lee Corso not so fast, my friend, on that one?
Okay.
You said it's outcome bias, what we're looking at here with this team. I disagree. Not so fast, my friend. I agree with you. We need to look at the run game. Why did they not run the football more? That, to me, is a problem. Yeah, they won the football game. They're 4-1. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I am on the side of thinking this team needs to run the ball more each and every game, and they need to stick to it. We knew coming in, Tampa was the second best defense against the run in the National Football League. And we were okay with it going in that they needed to stick to the run because it gave them the best chance to win. Now they didn't. The 14, the 12, the 13 rushes last night from the Bears, mm-hmm, not acceptable. You have to run the ball more. And I agree, if we point back to that final drive where they were throwing the ball after the Montgomery catch along the left sideline, why are you throwing the ball there? You need to run the football. And now here's the thing that I don't get. Who says running the football equates to just giving up? That's the thing that irritates the bejesus out of me with this, is people who call in, hey, I'm calling into the show, and my thought is...
What is that?
Well, it's a guy with a bad call. That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
Okay.
And
all
this
right,
guy...
Bad call guy. All right, bad call guy.
And they're going to say he was going for it, right?
Yeah.
He was going for the win. Well, it's ridiculous. You're telling me other teams in the National Football League, like the Cleveland Browns, like they wouldn't try and run for the victory?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Kansas City Chiefs? The Chiefs run the football all the time up. That's what they do. They run the football. Patrick Mahomes is awesome, but they run the football.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to me, why is it an automatic give up if you try and run out the clock and run up the middle and try and get yardage at the end of the game before they kick the field goal? To me, not only did you not kill any time, but why is it of the mindset with the Chicago Bears offense that the run plays cannot be productive plays down the field? Who says you can't break off a 13, 14-yard run? Who says you can't do that and then put your team in position to punch in a touchdown late to guarantee that Tom Brady can't come back and win?
Well, the Bucs say you can't because they only allowed 35 yards rushing yesterday.
Nagy didn't even, he didn't try.
Well, because this is what happened, Chris. We laid it out. They tried to run the ball early, and it didn't work, so they abandoned the run. And you heard yesterday on the broadcast, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck talking about it, where it's like, look, these defenders are going to start to clamp down. They know they're only going to give up 5-6 yards. But that worked. The dinking, the dunking down the field, yes. All that stuff worked. You had Nick Foles putting a ball, you know, a great wheel route, and then you also had him converting a first down with David Montgomery putting it right over the defender. The perfect just floater pass to get it right in there, right where it needed to be. And that's the difference that you see between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky, is that he can do things like that. Now, when you face other teams here that aren't as good against the run. And Nagy talked about it. He's like, look, the last two teams we faced, they're good against the run. So we had to come with a different game plan. The difference is that last week's game plan against the Colts didn't work. This week's game plan, fortunately, very fortunately, worked. Because, one, they can't stop the run. You know, you look at Ronald Jones, he had 17 carries for 106 yards. One of them was a 37-yard run. But still, they were just feeding him and feeding him and feeding him. All right, and then you had, and then the other problem is they don't run enough. You need to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. Literally, the one time when you needed to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands at the end of the game,
they didn't even try.
You didn't do it.
They didn't even try.
And you gave the ball back, and luckily, you have a defense that was crapped on all last week and all this week. They stepped up. Because you and I look at the numbers, and you and I look at the stats that Khalil Mack has. We look at the stats that everybody else has, and we said, this is still a top 10 defense. This is still a productive defense. We need to see them step up and make plays. It's great that you bend, don't break. It's all they limit teams to 19 points. That's fine. But we need to see playmaking. We need to see the momentum-shifting play, and we got that yesterday from Khalil Mack, and we got that yesterday from Kyle Fuller. Now they just need to learn how to tackle.
Time
out!
Hold on. Zach Morris. Time out for a second. Can I make an official apology? Now listen, I'm not saying that the bad caller guy is someone who calls our show. All of our calls are great.
Yeah, yeah.
All calls welcome.
All calls welcome.
ESPN 1000, Black and Abdallah, we'll take your calls. I'm just saying, if there was a person to make a bad call, that's usually what you hear.
Not
on our station, though.
I thought you were going to apologize for the Khalil Mack slander.
Do you even know what slander means? We were suggesting that he plays well, and he played well, which means we're right. No, seriously. People are coming at us on Twitter. Did you listen to the program? We were asking for Khalil Mack to play well.
You on Twitter.
I asked for Khalil Mack to have a game. He had a game. Therefore, I am right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not slander. Mm-hmm. Slander would be making something up about him that's factually incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Do you want to tell me what libel is next?
Time in.
No, I just decided. I think
libel is when it's written.
I think Twitter hands get a little active libel's sometimes, and they think they're funny. All right, time back. Okay, are we good? Everything good? Apology accepted. All right, calls welcome. Alex and Wheeling, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey guys, I think yesterday Nagy pretty much got bailed out because with him not wanting to run, I think Aikman said that if they had ran and then kicked the field goal still, it would have been about a 30-second drive that Brady would have had to use instead of like a minute and 30 seconds. And it's not the first time we saw him do this either. I think last year in the Chargers game, he did the same thing. So from what I've noticed is that like when teams play the Bears, the opposing teams aren't going to get beat by the Bears. They're going to get beat by themselves because the Bears are going to give you every chance, it looks like, to come out and try and win the game with whatever mistakes Nagy wants to make on that side. And when I look at the next six games, especially the three in a row against the division, that's what scares me, is I think we're just going to get out-coached in a few of them.
That's a fair point, Alex.
Yeah.
But here's how I would answer that. To this point in the season, it does not seem as if the Bears have had control of the game until the very end. So they're 4-1. Mm-hmm. But have any of these games gone to plan, per se? Like, as we enter the game and as the game is going along the game script, does it feel as if the Bears are always coming from behind? They have. They've won multiple games from behind this year.
Yes.
At no point in these contests does it feel like, oh, yeah, by far, they are the better football team and they are imposing their will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've seen that yet from the Bears.
No, we haven't. And I said to you yesterday, good teams win early, lucky teams win late. What were the Bears yesterday? Were they a good team or were they a lucky team?
See, and that's where I want to debate this with you, because I heard Cap and Jay Hood talk about it earlier today. Waddle and Sylvie mentioned it as well. And we'll take your phone calls on it, 312-332-3776, on the Bears, who are 4-1. But how good is this team? I'll answer your question coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Talking Bears with you at 312-332-3776. You asked me a question before we went to break.
I did. I said, good teams win early, lucky teams win late. Are the Bears a good or lucky team?
Well, this is how I'm going to answer it. 2 weeks ago, we do a segment each Tuesday called Five Up, Five Down. The five best teams in the NFL, the five worst teams in the NFL, and we give our list. 2 weeks ago, I gave you the Bears as the fifth best team in the NFL after the change from Mitchell Trubisky to Nick Foles. I thought this team was ready to allow the defense to flourish, and the offense was finally going to get back to that average level we're hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
And so to answer your question is, I think this team is good. I think the way they won the game last night, a lot of mistakes, a lot of opportunities left on the field by the offense, which hopefully gets improved. But what we saw last night was a defense that changed the game. Kyle Fuller and that hit that caused the fumble, that was a game-changing play made by a stellar cornerback who's one of the best in the National Football League. That changed the game. Khalil Mack in the backfield causing disruption the entire night changed the game. And I like what I saw from the defense, and you found a way to win. And I get it. It wasn't pretty, but it doesn't matter because you're 4-1. And the way this season is kind of shaping up is you have 11 games left. Win five more games, you're 9-7, you get into the playoffs. You get an extra wild card team this year. I think 9-7 is good enough. You'll be a playoff team. Can they win more than five games of the remaining that's left there? Well, it's dependent on this offense improving, and I think they can. So I think the ceiling is not limited to what we thought it would be coming into the season with Trubisky at quarterback. So I think this team is actually a good team. Now, this is a long-winded answer to your question, Abdallah. Have they been good? Have they been good to this point? Not really. But I think they are a good team. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think they have good parts. I think they have lucky parts. I mean, look, if I would have told you that, take the score out of it, right? I told you the Bears rushed 14 times for 35 yards. Nick Foles had to throw the ball 42 times, okay? And Tom Brady got the ball down with a minute 15 left. What would you have said to me?
First of all, I would assume that they probably lost,
mm-hmm.
and that Brady getting the ball at the end with a minute left is just to kneel out the clock and to run the clock and game.
If I would have told you that the Bears made a quarterback switch during a Falcons game when they were down three touchdowns.
Well, yeah, that's probably not a win in most cases.
Okay, I think they are a
probability. The odds of probability would be that's probably a loss.
I think they can be both. I think they can be a good team that's also lucky. They're a good team that's lucky to be 4-1 right now, given how they've had to come back. And eventually, your luck is going to run out. Like, the pendulum will swing back into the other direction. Now you can stop that by being a good team. So you've had lucky breaks, but if you're a good team, then you go and you beat the Panthers. You beat the Vikings twice. You maybe take one from the Packers. You can maybe beat the Rams on the road. You can beat the Texans. You know, maybe you compete with the Saints better than you did last year. So I think that they've been lucky, but they also are a good team because they wouldn't have been able to come back at all of those games.
And you mentioned the pendulums swinging and the luck running out at some point. Not to go Chuck Klosterman on you and try and out-question your question and logic here, but what are we looking at with this team to begin with? Like, the luck running out, so are you saying, like, on a Super Bowl run? Because, yeah, probably their luck will run out. On making the playoffs? I don't know about that. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
No, they'll make the playoffs. I think they're going to
make the
playoffs.
But, like, when you say it's going to swing back and the luck's going to run out, does that mean a loss in the wild card round as a team who's hosting that game? We saw that in 2018.
Look, we just
where does the luck run out? Is it in the conference championship game? Because to me, getting to the conference championship game in this season would be a successful season for the Bears.
I wanted
to win the Super Bowl, but
we just saw a team in the Cubs that got out to a hot start and then did nothing the second half of the season and still made the playoffs and were swept out, right? You've got a team that's 4-1 right now. They probably only need to win 5 more games out of their next 12 games to do that. Let's say they just do that and they back into the playoffs and they're in the hunt for a while and they're the team that's not in the hunt. They're actually being hunted as that last spot and they get one of the last few spots because the Packers are going to win the division at this rate unless you're better than them
and
you beat them.
Listen,
anything can happen.
4-1 team.
I know. But
don't be a hater.
I'm not being a hater. What I'm saying is this team too good enough? Does that pendulum start to swing in the playoffs when we've seen it before for them and they haven't been so lucky?
Like, let me ask you this part, and we're going to get to the phone calls. You mentioned all the luck. It's worked out in your favor, yeah. What happens when this team actually plays a good game? Has anyone talked about that? Like, what if the offense comes out and it clicks?
Yeah.
Like, at what point do you, at that point, do you then say, all right, this team's actually really good. If the offense can get their blank together, I think this is a pretty good team. And that's what we thought this team was going to be coming into this season.
Mm-hmm.
Gary on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gary?
Happy Feel Good Friday. Was it a Feel Good Friday or a Feel Grateful Friday that we hung on by the skin of our teeth, right?
Yes, all of it, yes.
All right, so on your question about luck or good, luck is when opportunity meets preparation, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears are prepared. I want to thank Arians, but however, they always say another parable. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think I want to thank Arians for going for that 4th-and-1. What is it, early in the second on the first half?
Yeah.
They were in the 20, and he went for it on 4th-and-1. He was insulting Nagy and the Bears. He said, you know what, you guys can't move the ball, and if you're lucky, you'll get a field goal. You might even miss that. I think that move did the Bears a favor. That they insulted them to the point where they woke up and realized they got to play ball. Because that was an insult. That was a smack in the face. We're going to sneak, you know, from the 20, and we're going to go for it. We don't care. That was an insult, man. And I think I want to thank Arians for maybe waking up that Bears defense.
I'm with you, Gary. Thanks for the phone call. And it is a slap to the face, but it's also smart. Because when you have a quarterback like Brady, who almost always converts the 4th-and-1 sneak, why don't teams do it more often? You know, Ron Rivera always got stuff for it because
Riverboat Ron.
He always went for it all the time with Cam, but like it doesn't make any sense to give up the ball when it's almost a guarantee that you can do it.
Look,
when you convert it, 70%+ of the time?
Brady's really good at that, but you also have to look at the two quarterbacks that were playing yesterday, right? Brady's 43 years old. Nick Foles has been injured in the past and has had the broken collarbone before. You know, like I'm not doing anything where those guys are going to be at the bottom of any sort of pile at given Brady's age and given Foles' injury history.
They're also both smart though, so they know how to read what the defense is going to do, find the little hole to get 1 yard, and if they know it's going to blow up in their face, call a timeout. Abort the play, you know?
Yeah.
Kevin in River North, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. First of all, I owe you an apology because like 2 weeks ago, we were talking White Sox and Cubs, and I was adamant about my Cubs, and I have to eat my words on that one. So just right off the bat, I got to apologize. And then in terms of the Bears, I think the two biggest weaknesses right now are the receivers, and you can throw the tight ends in there too, and the coach. I mean, the coach to not run the ball 2 times in that 4th quarter, 30 out of 32 coaches are going to run the ball, and then there's Matt Nagy, and then there's the next coach that's about to be fired. Because that's just inexcusable. You live and die with a 42-yard field goal attempt from your kicker, And that's the bottom line. You don't give Brady the timeout with a minute 10 left. I'm really shocked that we honestly you got that one. And then the second thing is, you know, the Bears have improved. They can win in multiple different ways. There was a game in the 12-4 season a couple years ago where the Bears ran the ball like 40 or 45 times, racked up like 200 yards of rushing. That was one type of win. You know, a defense touchdown is another type of win. Haven't seen that yet, you know, and I'm a big golfer. No one asks you your score or how your round was after five holes. You got to wait 18 holes or, in this case, the full season. So I'll be patient, but I'm telling you, Matt Nagy, he's going to be a bust for us.
Or, Kevin, like when we play after 9 holes, we all say that this is all so terrible. New nine. All right,
absolutely.
Kevin.
All right, thanks, Jess.
Thanks for the call, man.
Unless you're showboating and you're like, you know, oh, I just got four pars in a row.
Posting a number. Andre on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
You tell us.
I'm just trying to say, you know, like I compare this year's team when you were saying the luck, they can be lucky and good. I'm comparing this team to last year's Green Bay team when we all know that team was really an 8-8 team and they luck ran out in the NFC Championship.
Well, Andre, hold on. Let me interrupt there. They were 13-3 and everyone said that they weren't that good. How has this season started for the Packers? They look like one of the best teams in the National Football League.
Oh, well, yeah, they look great this year, but I'm comparing, like, this year's Bears to last year's Green Bay Packers team, where they won, but they wasn't convincing, you know. And everybody in the playoffs, well, me personally, me being a Bears fan, I was just waiting for them to get ousted, and then it finally happened in the championship team because they ran up against a San Francisco team that can throw and run. You know,
right.
Our problem is, and you know, consistently now we can't run. And I always say the stars is the offensive line, and we haven't drafted well in the offensive line. We've just been picking up players from other teams to come over. And you know, my best thing is do like what the Cubs did: go do your draft and just build your team, build your offensive line to what you want it to be, instead of getting people that's run down already or who has 6-7 years in the league. And, you know, just build it up from the farm, and then you can build up your offensive line the way you want to, because whoever's back there is quarterback. If you don't have 3 to 4 seconds to throw the ball, or if you can't give them a lane to run, there's nothing going to happen. I just hang up and, you know, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, absolutely, Andre. Call again. And, you know, like to the point that he's making about the Packers last year and the Bears and the way they've looked this season, like I get it. Style points matter when we're trying to figure out the hierarchy of the league. Like, Seattle looks like one of the best teams in the NFC. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not only have they beat teams convincingly,
oh, yeah,
but they have the undefeated record.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers have been putting up points on everyone. The defense got a question a little bit, but at this moment, they look pretty good. And right now, it doesn't really matter. But to Andre's point, when you get into the playoffs, it kind of does matter. Last year, we knew the 49ers were the best team in the conference.
Yeah.
And they showed it in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely showed it. Their defense, their ability to run the football. Garoppolo was good enough to get them to the Super Bowl. Heck, they were up in the fourth quarter by, what, 10 on the Chiefs before the Chiefs came back and won that game? So, you know, like we knew there were signs last year telling us San Francisco is really good. San Francisco is really good.
Oh, yeah.
San Francisco is the best team in the conference. Right now, I think it's a positive that the Bears are 4-1 and they're not getting those whispers because, like, they have a lot of improvement. Would I like them to get the style points right now, like the Packers? Absolutely. Like the Seahawks? Absolutely. But, I mean, we still have, you know,
there's still 12 games left.
Right. 3/4 of the season left.
Mm-hmm.
They can still do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, this is a big week for the Bears this next 10 days. This is a big week for Matt Nagy to go in. You know, James Daniels is going to be out for the rest of the season, so you're down alignment as it is. And Matt Nagy is going to have to do a lot of what we wanted him to do the past year during the offseason, is a lot of self-scouting and saying, hey, well, now I have 10 days to get ready for the Panthers. Now we know that Nick Foles is the starter going forward. Now it's time to tailor this game plan to what Foles can do. You've got to clean up these mistakes where Foles wants to go and Nagy's calling timeouts to bring personnel in. It's like you have to clear up that communication. And during these next 10 days, that's when that communication gets cleared up, because they were rolling and there's still back and forth between the coach and the quarterback of what they want to do.
We're talking Bears with you.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Allen Jefferson Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Al?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Not much, man. What do you think about the Bears? 4-1. I'm happy.
I'm happy, too. But I'm calling to give Jimmy Graham his props. Everyone at the station was calling him a pile of poop. I don't think he's a pile of poop. Whoa, he had an all-time catch yesterday.
Whoa. We never said that.
No, but everyone's like, oh, he's not worth the $9 million.
Oh, yeah, I definitely said that. Guaranteed. Yeah, for sure.
I still believe everyone that,
yes, and I'm with you. Yeah,
I still believe that.
Yeah, I agree.
Still believe that.
Yes. Yeah. He could barely move out there. He made a nice catch last night, and he's caught a couple of touchdowns, 4 on the season.
I don't think someone is valuable if they can only play for 20 yards of the field.
Yeah, but he's a red zone threat, right? You can't run into the red zone anymore.
It's still not worth $9 million. Like Al, it's like that Nagy wanted him, and so Pace went out and said, "All right, well," they talked to his agent. He's like, "Well, how about what do you want?" And they were like, "Well, let's start high. Let's see if they'll give us $9 million." Okay. And he goes, "What about $9 million?
How about $9 million?
Oh, okay. Here's $9 million. Dude is not worth $9 million. He may be a good signing, and he may end up having 6 or 7 touchdowns or something like that, and that'll be great. But you can't tell me he's worth $9 million.
I mean, he's scoring touchdowns. That's the most important thing in the league, right? I mean, scoring touchdowns, fantasy.
No, the most important thing in the league is cap flexibility, so you can have depth and you can have, maybe you could have signed another O-lineman, which they now need. Maybe you could have, signed more defensive line help, which they need. Maybe you could have, extend Allen Robinson, which they need to do, and not give Tariq Cohen $5 million. So I have no problem with the move. It's just that he probably should have gotten, $3 million, if that.
I think everyone says he was bad in Seattle. He was bad in Green Bay. But last year, he killed the Bears in the one game that they won. And he showed up during the playoff game that they won. So he actually helped them win two really important games. And then in Seattle, his last year there, he had 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really bad, right? I mean, I don't understand why people are...
Well, he's not necessarily good anymore. He had 38 receptions last season for 60 yards. I mean, for 60 targets. He only had 447 yards.
But the team went 13-3, so he's a good guy to have in your locker room also.
Yeah. Right? No? I mean, listen, Al, let's keep our eyes on this developing situation, right? Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I guess my question is how you like him now.
How about this, Al? You can call me when he's averaging a million a touchdown.
Listen, if through 16 games he has 16 touchdowns.
Okay.
Al,
I mean,
then,
18
then, yeah.
touchdowns would be 500,000 a touchdown.
Is he leading the team in touchdowns? I don't know. I'm not going to do
that. He's got to be right now.
Yeah,
right?
I think he is.
Yeah.
I mean, how much is that worth, right? I mean,
but don't you think that those touches and those possessions should be going to, the guy they drafted in the second
Cole
round?
Cole Kmet. Where's
he? He's a good blocker.
Drafted a blocker in the second round?
He had a holding penalty last night.
I know, but right now he's blocking. That's his role.
All right, Al. Developing situation. We'll keep our eyes on it. Call back, okay? Right, give us an update next week on Jimmy Graham, all right?
Jimmy Graham's going to score 2 touchdowns.
I hope so.
All right. Okay.
I hope he does.
The news desk, we have a developing situation.
It's not like we're rooting against Jimmy Graham. It's not like, proven right. I want Jimmy Graham to suck.
It's an anti-Ryan Pace take. It's not an anti-Jimmy Graham take.
Well, and here's the
thing. I'd love for him to
If you're going to pay Jimmy Graham that much money, and you're going to use him as much as Matt Nagy is using him, why the hell did you spend a second-round draft pick on a tight end?
Well,
why didn't you get an offensive lineman?
Salim and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Salim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Not much, man. Just wanted to call in about the running game on both sides of the ball. So first, obviously, our run defense. Adam brought that up earlier in the show as far as how we're struggling to stop the run. And you figure at some point teams are going to figure that out too. And I don't think teams have really made an effort to punish the Bears on the ground as much as they should. I think where they ran, Tampa ran, was Jones, right? 17 times. They probably could have ran him a little bit more to take the pressure off of Brady and get down the field. So that'll be an interesting development as the season goes on. And then the second thing I want to bring up, obviously on our end, where we don't run the ball enough. And at this point, can we just come to the conclusion that Matt Nagy does not know how to game plan an offense? Because we do that with quarterbacks, right? We got into that season and then into this season, we're like, okay, Mitch is who he is. We have enough sample size. Shouldn't we be there with Matt Nagy where, okay, this guy probably just doesn't know how to game plan and on an offense?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I think, Salim, it's a good question. And I think that, you know what, I would like you and I yesterday before the game, during the pregame show, we were saying things that we wanted to see, right? Yeah, we want to see a big game from Khalil Mack. We want to see them run the ball and establish the run. They did one of those two things. We wanted to see like big plays from the defense, from a Kyle Fuller, from an Eddie Jackson, and we did, right? You know what I want to see? You remember? You want to do a remember when? You want to do a remember when real quick? You want to do a remember when?
Sure.
You want to do a remember when real quick? Go back to memory lane.
Sure.
Let's go all the way back.
Yeah.
Let's go all the way back. All the way back.
I'm listening, yeah.
All the way back.
I'm with you.
To 2 years ago.
Okay.
All the way back.
Yeah.
When the easiest bet in the NFL was Bears first quarter.
Oh, I love that bet.
Bears first quarter
Such
spread,
a good bet.
Bears first quarter money line.
Oh, man.
You know why? Because this is what I keep saying when I say good wins.
We got some new shoes off that bet.
Yeah, I got some kicks. Good teams win early, lucky teams win late. Good teams like the Ravens. Good teams like the Seahawks. Good teams like the Packers. Their game plans work. Their scripted plays work. The first 15, the first 20, whatever it is, whatever teams script out, those work. And that's what I want to see again. I want to see Nagy's game plan for a game at the beginning of the game work. I want to see them take a lead on their first possession. I want to see them take a lead into the second quarter. I want to see them take a lead into halftime. And then, you remember when we were talking about, remember when, Chris, we were talking about the worst fourth quarter defense in the NFL? You know why? Because they were leading, and they went into a prevent defense because they just didn't have to allow the other teams to score two touchdowns because they were Cadillac and wins.
George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, George?
Hey, gentlemen, I just wanted to say I'd love talking Bears with you, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say you guys have the best college Saturday football radio show in the U.S. You, Black, and Abdullah, Chris, you guys are fantastic.
Thank you.
But as far as the Bears are concerned, I really believe that Nick Foles will get better and better. He's able to read the defenses and change the plays and just, you know, because Nagy's calling several different plays. We finally got somebody that can look at the defense and make the changes. Now, they're going to have some problems because they just lost one of their guards, but I think they can work it out. I really believe that this team is a very good team trying to be an excellent team, and I think by the end of the season, they will be.
Thanks for the call, George. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
More phone calls coming up. Before we get to that, have we checked in on the Twitchers tonight?
Yeah.
ESPN 1000 Chicago. The
popping.
Twitch chat. We have a good Twitch chat tonight.
Twitch.tv.
You can watch the show live, and you can also comment. Everyone's in there having a great time on a Friday night. Anything good pop out at you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What is this?
Prophecy 187? You want Prophecy 187?
No,
it says Foles is better than Rodgers because he knows how to use Graham.
Okay. Well, hey, maybe that might be. What about Lil' Kev?
Lil' Kev?
What does Lil' Kev have to say there? What do I see there in the Twitch chat?
Cap was calling you guys out this morning?
Huh. For what?
For calling out Mac?
Oh.
I didn't hear it.
Well, okay. Well, I didn't hear it either. But clearly he didn't listen to the show last night because the point of the conversation last night was we were saying for the Bears to win, Khalil Mack needed to show up and play like the top 10 player that he is.
Yeah, I didn't.
So if Cap is calling us out for suggesting that Mac play well, guess what? Mac played well, and the Bears won.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Why don't you take that into your Friday?
To Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Bird. Thanks to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. Check out the podcast, Black and Abdallah, on the ESPN Chicago app. This week we talked to Aaron Schatz and also Jordan Cornette, both on the podcast.
Yeah.
We talked to Aaron from Football Outsiders. Obviously, we previewed the Bears and the Bucks, but more importantly, we also went around the NFL and got ready for this week's action. So that podcast is still good. Also, Jordan Cornette helps us preview the action in the ACC tomorrow.
Big game.
Clemson, Miami, huge game. North Carolina with a big game. Notre Dame back on the field this week. So we talk a lot of college football with Jordan Cornette. Check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app.
And tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Chicago's College Tailgate, you, me, Jonathan Hood, leading you right up to pregame of Notre Dame, which will begin at 5:30, and then you can hear the game right here on ESPN 1000, Notre Dame and Florida State. But 3 o'clock tomorrow for Chicago's College Tailgate.
Jim in South Holland, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. I listen to your show pretty much every day.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, I've been listening to, you know, everything that's been said by you guys, have been said by callers since the beginning of the year, and I've also, you know, I've watched the Bears, and I'm wondering how, you know, when we blame the lack of the Bears running game, I'm wondering how much of that is play calling and how much of that is the Bears are just not very good at it, and they end up in, you know, where they have to pass. I watched the replays where, you know, it just seems there's not very many holes being opened up. You know, I've watched several plays last night where, you know, the defensive players were just kind of breaking down, you know, Bears offensive linemen and getting by them. What's the possibility that we just simply don't have enough talent?
Jim, I think it's both, and I'm not avoiding the question, but I think it's Nagy's inability to stick to the play calling of running mm-hmm. plays, and then I think it's also when he does call running plays, he sees that the offensive line isn't moving people out of the way, creating the holes, allowing the running backs to get downfield, so then he scares himself away from it even more. So I think it's both. I think it's the talent may not be great to have a high-level running game in the NFL, but also you have a play caller who's not even calling running plays.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's not willing to establish the run. That's the biggest problem. Like, here's the difference, right? We talk about the outcome bias. You know, everybody was so pissed off about the Colts game and how he didn't run during the Colts game, yet all the feedback that we got after the win yesterday was, well, they're good at defending the run, so Nagy didn't need to run the ball. No, that's just outcome bias. The defense gave up the same amount of points. It's outcome bias. If the Bears didn't win yesterday, we'd have full phone lines on why Nagy can't run. He doesn't want to use the run. The O-line was bad, all this kind of stuff. But because they won, and he only ran the ball 14 times or 13 times, because one of them was Nick Foles, people aren't as upset, or they give excuses. Well, it wasn't okay for him to run against the Colts, but it's okay for him not to run against the Bucks because the Bucks have a good run defense. The Colts had the number one run defense. The Bucks were number two. If anything, you should have run more against the Bucks.
I agree with you. And even though that they were a team that came in with the good stats, you know, over the course of a game, it helps out your passing game to run the football.
Yeah, you're running play action. Run the ball.
Absolutely. Black and Abdallah here with you on ESPN 1000. Coming up next at 7 o'clock, the Odds Couple. You'll get all your gambling information with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North. And then after those two guys give you the great gambling information for the weekend, we have NBA Finals Game 5 tonight on ESPN 1000. Heat Lakers, the Lakers going for their 17th championship, and LeBron going for his fourth NBA championship. Now, Abdallah, when you look at LeBron James' basketball reference page, like, there is no doubt he is one of the all-time greats
all-famer?
In NBA history.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah, let's put him in.
Already. I think he needs one more. I think he's got to win tonight.
All right. The point here is when you look at LeBron's stats, the stats are incredible. What he averaged for his career, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. That's his career average. It is incredible. 16-time All-Star, 16-time All-NBA player, 3-time NBA Finals MVP. He's won the MVP for the regular season 4 times. 6-time All-Defensive Team player.
So you're saying he's good at basketball.
He's really good at basketball. And what's going to happen here is when the Lakers win tonight, or in Game 6 or in Game 7, the GOAT conversation is going to start happening between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. And what I think is fascinating with this whole thing, with MJ and LeBron and people needing to have this debate about the two, because LeBron's the new thing to kind of look at, and Michael is in the past, and maybe some millennials, younger millennials and Gen Z, maybe they don't really understand the greatness of Michael Jordan, even though we've all gone through this pandemic together. We all watched The Last Dance together, and we all analyzed and went back and watched old games, and were mesmerized at how great Michael Jordan was. Look at the page for LeBron James, Basketball Reference. With all of those stats and the All-NBA teams and the MVPs and all this, isn't it a little underwhelming that he only has 3 championships? And yeah, he'll probably get his 4th tonight. And so at the end of the day, he has 4 championships. If you remove the championships from the combo and you look at the page and you look at the stats and you say this is one of the all-time great players in NBA history, the fact that he only has 4, isn't that kind of like, how are we even having the conversation between Michael and LeBron?
How many finals has he gone to?
Well, 9.
Okay.
But well, that's still.
No.
So you're saying that getting close is good enough?
Can I finish my damn point?
Go ahead.
Jordan never lost in the finals. Jordan never lost.
Right.
You get to the mountain, you climb to the top. LeBron has failed to get to the top of the mountain. He's been close, but he hasn't gotten there every single time.
But what about his teammates? Jordan had better teammates.
Did he?
Jordan had better coaches.
I mean, yes, he had a better coach, but
yeah, well,
I mean,
Jordan also played tougher teams.
But look at who, like, LeBron had Kyrie for a few years. LeBron had good teams. You know, LeBron has Anthony Davis, who I'm not going to get into the Anthony Davis Scottie Pippen comparison, but that's just not fair.
Yeah, and I think what I take away from this is, now listen, if LeBron goes on to play 6 more years and collects 3 more championships,
mm-hmm.
Let's have the combo. Let's get after it. But at the moment, each time LeBron wins, mm-hmm. He is still way behind Michael. And so we shouldn't have the conversation. We can talk about LeBron, but at the moment, until he collects more, and it's going to be more than what he needs to get tonight, I don't think it's a relevant conversation. He's the greatest of this generation. The unfortunate thing for him is when we look back at these generations, we're going to think of the Warriors. We're going to think of the Spurs. We're going to think of Kobe. We're going to think of things that are other than LeBron, because LeBron only has 3 titles. And that's just the fact of it.
Mm-hmm.
NBA Finals, Game 5 tonight at 8 here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.